Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we get started today, I want to check up with you and just see how your everyday faith is going. We're several weeks deep into this series where we are just looking at the everyday tools that go into living out and growing into our relationship with the Lord. And that's, as we've been looking, like that's an everyday thing. As we've been looking at the practices and the tools that go into that, we're not letting up yet, and that's a good thing. And now I know that even as we've talked about tools, even very simple tools can take a lot of practice to get good with, right? There's probably no more truer example than this simple tool right here, a paintbrush. Now, I walked in this morning, and Joe Shiflett looked right at me and says, "That doesn't look like it fits your hand." And I'm going, "It definitely does not." Okay? This is a very basic tool. You can, in essence, you can chunk it down in a gallon of paint and start smearing it on the wall, and you have used this tool, right? But now, have you ever watched someone that uses one of these every day? It's an altogether different story, isn't it? You know, like when I pick one of these up, like it's clunky. I need drop cloths and tape, and it's going to end up to my elbows. I think I got stain on the back of my arm from yesterday, as a matter of fact. Like that's just how painting goes for me. I don't practice a lot. But if you watch someone that uses a brush every day, it's literally, they have become so good with this basic tool that it's just an extension of their hand. The only reason they put down drop cloths is to make the customer feel better. They don't need it. It's for us. But you see, that's what we're getting at with this everyday faith thing, is that we're taking very simple tools and we're trying to commit to growing and to where they become just an extension of our everyday faith walk, that we're every day growing in relationship with the Lord. That's what this series is about. And the tools are not necessarily paintbrushes. It's tools like a prayer journal. This is where we started week one. And these are just blank lined journals. They're up here at the front of the room at the cross. If you don't have one, I would encourage you to please get one today. And there's a little card up there that just says, "Let's pray" on the top. There's two different model prayers on there. You might say, "Well, Pastor, how do I even get started in praying?" There's a guide. It's a tool. Put it into practice. It's for you. We've also looked at the importance and the tool of God's Word. The importance of God's Word for our life, not only that we would get into it, get into its pages, but that we would so study it and devour it that it would get into us. That's the invitation of God's Word. And we have a couple more copies of Scripture up here. If you don't have a paper Bible, I'm all for one on your phone. Have several. It's a great thing. But I'm also not going to trade a paper in your lap right on the pages Bible. If you don't have one today, please don't leave without one. There's copies up here for you. And there's also a little guide in there with a HEAR acronym, H-E-A-R. It says highlight, explain, apply, and respond. It says, "Well, Pastor, how do I start reading?" That'll help you. This is a way to get into that tool. And last week, we looked at the idea, the everyday practice of serving. And we looked at the life of Jesus and how he served, and we look at how he washed his disciples' feet. And feet in the first century were even more grody than the ones are today. They were dirty and callous and smelly, and it was the job of the lowest servant to come and wash feet. Well, that's what Jesus did. That's how he served. And so there's little towels that have been made up as a reminder of our call to serve like Jesus served. You can catch up with any of this content, any of these messages, on our website, cotnaz.org/watch-listen. There's a tab there where all the audio of these messages is recorded. I would encourage you to follow along. And none of it is about making you feel bad about what you're doing or not doing. This whole series is an invitation. It's an invitation for wherever you are in your walk with Jesus to take a step closer to him, to lean in to intimacy and following along him. That's what this is all about. It's an invitation to everyday faith. Today, we're going to look at the everyday faith practice of fellowship and life together. You cannot read the scriptures, especially the life of Jesus, and come away with a vision of Christianity that is lived out in isolation. You won't find a vision for following Jesus disconnected from the life of other people. And before you object, we're not talking about the Tom Hanks castaway situation. Let's just lay that aside. But the everyday, we're talking about everyday faith here. The everyday living out of our faith, that life, that faith being lived out as the Bible describes it, as Jesus lived it, is a life lived in community. It's a life lived in connection and fellowship with other believers. And this is not really, I'm not trying to describe or sell to you another social club. I'm not trying to broaden just your circle of friends. What we're talking about, the relationships here are different. They are centered and focused on Christ. Our commonality is first in Christ Jesus. It's a relationship that's marked by community, of love and mutual care. These relationships are marked by a sense of shared calling and purpose in the way of Jesus. You see, that's the difference in what the scriptures is calling us to and what we might find in just another social club. You see, these relationships are essential to living out your faith. Life together is the life that Jesus wants you and I to live. The question before each one of us is, will we listen to him? We just sang about surrender into the Jesus way. Friends, the Jesus way is life together. So will we surrender? We've prayed a lot today, but let's pray again. Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, we want to live your way. So Lord, as we dive into your word, as we look to your life, what you taught, what you said, Lord, would you open our hearts? I think this is maybe one of the harder things for us to wrap our minds around because we live in such a culture of individual pursuit that, Lord, we can miss your call of community. So, Lord, for where each one of us comes at this topic today, we're headed towards you with the same end of living the Jesus way. So would you show us today in Jesus' name? Amen. Throughout this series, we've been asking this question, like, how do we live this thing out? How do we live out the faith we have in Jesus? And anytime we ask a question like that, we want to look to the life of Jesus himself. He is our model for life and faith, and the same is true for life and community today. As you would look at and read through the life of Jesus in the New Testament, you will see that he lived in constant community and fellowship with others. All of the Gospels record that Jesus sets out at the beginning of his ministry. One of the first things that he does is that he begins to call people to follow him, to be with him. We know this group, we call them the 12 disciples. And this tight-knit group literally does everything together, as you read the scriptures. They walked together, they shared meals together, they got to listen to Jesus' teaching together. They worshiped together, they went to the festivals together. Together, they got to ask questions, and I'm willing to bet they got into some arguments, right? Because there was a tax collector and a zealot in the same group of disciples. That would have been some conflict. But yet, that's happening within community. That's happening in community. They made mistakes, but what happened as they lived their life together centered around Jesus, those stories came together in such a way that 2,000 years later, we look today and we just clump them together as one. It's the disciples, right? You see, and that's really the vision, that's the message that we're trying to get at today, is that life together in the Jesus way is that all of our individual stories come together around the person of Jesus as one. That's life together. All of our stories as one, centered on the person of Jesus. And friends, like this is important for us to grab a hold of today, because our context is built on an individual perspective, right? Like we are taught, especially in this country, to be very individualistic, place our highest value on ourselves and what we want. And I'm not trying to be critical, but we just have to realize that when we talk about community, it's like trying to talk about water to a goldfish. Like it's just the world that we live in is individualistic. And so we're trying to just recognize that and hear the call of Jesus to life and community, because that life together, it might be the water we swim in, but it's not the life that Jesus calls us to, and it's not the life he commanded us to live. Yes, I said command. Let's look at Jesus' words in John 13. This is the final hours. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples sharing a meal. Again, he's living life together even in his final moments. And he's kind of, he's pouring into them. He's pouring into them, and he says these words in verse 34 and 35. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Can I be honest? Part of me wishes Jesus would have said something more like, "Hey, can y'all just like each other? Can y'all just get along?" But he doesn't say that, does he? You see, we might have been able to handle that on our good days. But Jesus says something radically different. He says a new command. Let's start there. Not a choice, not a suggestion, not extra credit points, a command. Love one another. And then the crazy part of this comes for me in the next part of this verse. Because we would be tempted to think, okay, love one another. All right, we can get along. We can do this. No, Jesus is like, hey, no. What's he say? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus, in this verse, is setting his love as the standard for how we love other believers, how we love the people sitting to our left and to our right. And again, I might wish he'd say, hey, try your best. Do the best you can. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, you must. You must. I think it's sometimes easy, if you've been familiar with God's word, it's sometimes easy to read past this and miss the significance of what just was said. Jesus, when you think about his love, how he has loved us, Jesus' love is sacrificial. I mean, the cross. That's love. It's unconditional. Jesus' love forgives. It deals with people's flaws and mistakes. It endures hurts and offense. His love never stops. And he turns and he looks at his disciples. He looks at his followers and says, hey, friends, how I've loved you is how you're to love one another. Oh, boy. That's a big command. That's how you need to love one another. And Jesus says, he reminds us, he says, friends, it's going to be this radical love that you have for one another that tells the world that you're my disciples. So what he's saying here, it's not going to be the sign out by the road that tells the world that we're Christians. It's not going to be our bumper stickers. It's not going to be our Facebook posts. Jesus says right here, it's going to be how you love one another. That's how the world's going to know that we're followers of Jesus. I'm glad the AC is on in here this morning. How we doing? Love one another as I have loved you. I think the disciples got this message. If you fast forward, so this is a couple hours before his crucifixion. Let's jump forward to Acts 2. Post-resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. So this is literally our DNA here, folks. As we've gathered this morning, if you rewound this thing back all the way to the beginning, we'd land right here. And I just want us to take in what we see. So let's read Acts 2, 42 through 47 with the lens of life together. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the mighty wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And don't miss this part. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is our story, friends. And if you think about the context here, the religious leaders who just killed Jesus are still in power. It would have made a lot of sense for these disciples to go, hey, you know what? It's time for us to go. Like every man or woman for themselves, let's just do this thing. But that's not what they do. You see, they got the message. They understood that life together was not optional, it was essential. And we see them living into it, and they're living together, fulfilling the call of God. They are learning together from the apostles' teaching. They're breaking bread together. They're praying together. They're sacrificing to meet each other's needs. And it says every day they worshiped. They worshiped. And friends, this group of believers doing life together experienced the blessing of God together. That's life together. It's life together. So can I ask you today, how you doing? This is our DNA as the church. Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. You must. How we doing? How we doing? I think a part of us can recognize this is tough. This call, this command, this life, this discipline is tough because people are messy. People make mistakes. They say and do stupid things. And look, I'm just telling you about me. But Jesus says, love them as I have loved you. I think even the extroverts might feel a little uncomfortable with that one. And then you begin to think, okay, well, man, I am super busy. I got a lot of things going. How on earth am I going to have time for that? Does anybody else have questions about this idea like I do for this? Does anyone else need help with this? Maybe it's just me. I think Jesus knew the gravity of what he was saying. You say, well, Pastor, why do you think that? Because he prayed for it. He prayed for it. Let's look at Jesus' prayer in John 17, so just a couple chapters ahead from where we were. This is Jesus praying just hours before the cross. John 17, beginning at verse 20, says, my prayer is not for them alone. So what Jesus, in John 17, Jesus has just been praying for the disciples who are sitting there with him. And right here, he makes a turn. He's praying for someone else. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Friends, we are reading from John's gospel today. We believe through the message of the disciples. Jesus is praying for you and for me right here. Let's listen to what he prays for. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. As Jesus looks beyond the cross, down through the generations of people who would come to believe in him, that's his prayer, that we would be one. Now, he doesn't pray for nice church buildings. He doesn't pray for full offering plates. I'd like to ask him about that sometime. He doesn't pray that we would be safe and happy. He prays that we would be one. One. He prays that we, brothers and sisters in Christ, would experience such unity and togetherness, such value and relationship, it would be reminiscent, it would be like Jesus' own relationship to the Father. Wow. Wow. That's what Jesus prayed for you and for me. This is the life he lived. It's the life he commanded. That's the life he prayed for you. So our question is still, will we take Jesus at his word in life together? You might say, well, Pastor, what does that even look like? Right? Like, how do we take a step in that direction? Part of our desire is to try to get super practical with this. And some of the steps that I think we need to take in this journey, and I wrestled with this first one. You say, well, what's the first thing? We've got to take Jesus at his word. We have to take Jesus at his word that life together is an essential part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You see, I don't think most of us need a lot of convincing on the importance of prayer. Like, that's not a hard sell. I don't think a lot of us need to be, you know, beat over the head to be convinced that it's a good idea to read God's word. Even to serve, like, those aren't hard sells. But I think there's something about this tool, something about this invitation that's a part of us that goes, ah, that's optional. It's not essential. And so you say, well, how do we take a step into living the Jesus way? We've got to commit that he meant what he said. Yeah. We got to believe him. To see that life together is not extra credit, it's not when we have time, it's not when we get around to it, it's now. It's every day. And that he's going to do something in it that he knows you and I need. We got to trust him and take him at his word. And look, I don't pretend to be able to convince you of that in 25 or 30 minutes. And so if you're not there, would you take a step this week in the coming days? See for yourself. Get into God's word. Ask him through prayer, Lord, would you reveal the essential nature of life together to me? And see what he says. I just ask you to be obedient to whatever he reveals to you. It's a journey. We're on a different space. That's okay. This is a good spot for that. But if you're not there, would you lean in and ask him? Ask him about the importance of it in your life. So we settle it, we commit to it, and we commit to do it. So, wow, this is really deep. I know. It's not complicated, but it does take commitment. I love that you're here this morning. It is so much better when you're here. But life together that Jesus is calling us to, that he's talking about here, goes way beyond this hour and 10 minutes. It's a part of our everyday life. Now, I'm not saying you've got to, you know, be at someone else's house every day, but what the invitation is that a part of our regular, daily, or life, weekly rhythms is that we are in relationship with other believers. in a context where we can know one another's story, where we can laugh together, where we can celebrate together, where we can cry together, where we can hear what each other needs. And look, you can do that on a kayak floating down the river. I'm for it. You can do that on a hike. You can do that at a coffee shop. You can do that around your table. But will you commit to it? It won't happen unless you commit to do it. Because we're all busy. And if you're not busy, I'd like to talk to you after service. We'll fix that for you. I'm just kidding. Will you commit to it and commit to do it? It takes commitment, and I say that. One of the ways we express that through the life of the church is through life groups. Life groups are designed to be a smaller, more intimate gathering that comes in between our Sunday gatherings. And these are designed that we would center around Jesus' word and life together. And so life group, we laugh together, we crack jokes together, we serve together, we do all of that stuff together. But can I just tell you that when that started, it took a commitment from me. And if I'm really honest, I started going because I'm the pastor. It's a part of my job. Sorry. I committed. But can we just, that was 3.5, 4 years ago. Can we fast forward to right now? Let me tell you about that same commitment. We just got done. So life groups run in seasons, if you're not familiar with it. Well, we just got done a couple weeks ago. And can I tell you that I miss my people? Some of y'all are here today. I love y'all. It's good to see you. I miss that. There's a hole in our life right now because I'm missing that fellowship. I'm missing that prayer. I'm missing bad jokes around the dinner table. You don't understand what I'm saying. But you see, I started as a commitment because I was the pastor. But now I'm absolutely committed because I've seen and witnessed and lived the power of life together. That's what I'm committed to. That's the essence. It takes commitment. So will you commit to it, commit to do it, and then finally, would you allow yourself to enjoy it? Yeah, enjoy it. Your first steps into community, they might be a little clunky. People are weird. I'm weird. That's how I know this. You might get let down. You might even get hurt. But please don't quit. Don't give up on Jesus' vision of life together. Because it'll change your life. I can prove that. Scientists have proved that. There was a community in the 1950s and the 60s in Pennsylvania. It was made up of Italian immigrants. It's Roseto, Pennsylvania. It's a real place. Real people. And what was happening in this time period is that this community, these people, were outliving all their neighbors. Noticeably, to the point that it caught the attention of researchers and medical scientists. This community was outliving the rest of America. And it wasn't just their length of life, quality of life was better. There was virtually no heart disease, no cardiac-related deaths. They were half as likely to suffer a stroke. There was no suicide, no drug addictions, and no alcoholism. Like, there was something special about Roseto. So, researchers set out to figure out, like, what is the fountain of youth here? Because they looked at the life of the people who lived in this community, and it wasn't healthy. They had an Italian diet. They ate sausage and ham and lots of pasta, which sounds great, but beyond that, they drank wine, they smoked cigars, they didn't believe in exercise, but it didn't matter. They're still outliving everybody else. And so as they dove into this, what do you think they found? They found the fountain of youth for people in Roseto, Pennsylvania, was their community. What researchers found is that when they looked at how they lived, it made all the difference. In that community, the people loved each other and made the best of every opportunity to engage in life together. Local clubs, organizations, potlucks, they were all well attended. Several generations of one family would often live together under the same roof, and this provided a level of comfort and care and security for the aging members of the community, and they just kept on living. Every evening in Rosetta was said to be like a festival. There were people who were cooking together, and they were eating out on the front porches. They would join tables together. They would join in community gardening. They lived their life together, and it was their fountain of youth. Community made the difference, and they proved this one generation later, because as that community began to disseminate and assimilate into the rest of culture, their health rates were identical with everybody else. They walked away from their fountain of youth, and it was community. Now, I'm not here to sell you an Italian way of life on the front porch, but what I want you to see is that you were made for community. Our physical bodies and our spiritual life are made for community. So will you get into it? Will you take Jesus at his word and commit to the Jesus way? Life together. We're going to follow along in the pattern of our series, and that we have a practical takeaway, except this week's a little different. Today, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a little bit of bread in the form of a wafer and a cup. We're going to take communion together as our response to this message. Except we're going to do it a little different. This is the gift. This whole message has been about life together centered on Jesus. We're going to go do that around the communion elements. Because the bread and the cup, the bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The cup represents his blood that was shed for you. And so we're going to, in just a second, we're going to get up and we're going to go and make a big circle around the elements that are prepared in the back. I want us to stand in physical representation of what we've been talking about. And if it's anything like first service, you'll know what I mean. See, it's not complicated, friends. It just takes commitment. It takes commitment to step into life together, to center on the person of Jesus and walk it out. And so let's do that. Would you stand and join with me? If you need a hand this morning, you just tell the person next to you, this is life together. Say, hey, can you carry a chair for me? I want to sit down. This will take us a couple minutes. If you're not ready to receive the elements today, I may have told you to stand too soon. You'll forgive me. If you're not ready to receive the elements, you don't have to be a member of the local church here. We just ask that you be seeking right relationship with Jesus. So don't be holding on to sin. Don't be, resisting him. Just say, Jesus, I want all of who you are to be in all of me. If that's where you're at today, you're invited to come and receive. And if you're not, I would still invite you to the circle. Nobody's going to make a big scene if you don't get elements. Nobody's going to know. It's between you and the Lord. But let's just take this seriously as Jesus gave it to us. So would you meet me in the back here in just a minute? Let's make a big circle around the elements prepared, and then I'll give instructions there. If you need help, you just raise your hand, and we will make sure you got what you need to receive the elements.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.